Now, the market for mind-bending drugs or neuroenhancers is on the rise. And if you're wondering what a neuroenhancer is, it's basically a pill to make you, and then in air quotes, smarter. It's not potentially as simple as just taking a pill or drinking a liquid. Some of them can have pretty severe side effects. With me on the line now is Dr. Siobhan Chabron, Research Fellow in Brain Plasticity and Rehabilitation at Western Sydney University. Siobhan, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So could you tell us what some of the more common neuroenhancers in Australia are?
Sure. So there's lots that we would all be really familiar with. So things like physical activity is known to have really positive effects on our mental abilities. Brain training, things like crosswords are thought to be good for that. Lifelong learning, like learning a new language or learning how to play tennis when you're older. And then one of the big ones that most of us do every day, of course, is take a cup of coffee, which is known to increase alertness and attention, especially on a Monday morning if you're a bit sleep deprived. And then there are some newer technologies and drugs that most of us are perhaps not familiar with, including things like non-invasive brain stimulation, where we put magnetic or electrical currents into the brain from a device worn on the head in an attempt, to make ourselves smarter.
And I'm sure everyone can vouch for coffee, but for things like the brain sort of stimulation, how effective is that sort of treatment?
It's a relatively new treatment, so the evidence is still emerging. There's some evidence that it might be effective, but the long-term studies still need to be done. The thing about non-invasive brain stimulation is that it's quite simple. So, I mean, you can build your own device with a 9-volt battery and a bunch of cords, for example. So it's been very, very difficult to regulate. And you can already buy these devices in the States, and they're being used by athletes to try and get that edge in elite performance, and by gamers, of all people, to try and increase reaction time so that they can kill more zombies and save the world quicker. So they're out there and they're certainly being used, although the evidence is still catching up with the use.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a few different demographics that are really into it, because I suppose when you'd think about your stereotypical user of people like this, you wouldn't be thinking athletes and gamers.
No, they're being widely used across a huge range of the population. They're being used by students at high school and at university as a study aid to improve results on exams, and by people at work when they have important presentations coming up or to try and improve their abilities to conduct important negotiations. I think we live in an increasingly competitive environment, even at work, and we're all looking for that edge. And of course, the other big demographic is our aging population, who are looking to maintain their mental function and kind of reduce the risk of dementia as they get older.
And you have mentioned that this is a fairly new technology, but it seems there's been a really sudden boost in the demand for these products. Does that just come down to potentially people learning about them, or is it something else?
Partly, I think that our advances in technology and in drug development mean that the idea that you can become smarter by taking a pill or using a device is more of a reality now than perhaps it was 10 years ago. Our changing work environment, I think, is a contributor. You know, once upon a time, we were all labourers in fields predominantly. We used our muscles more than our minds. And now the pressure to succeed, to really use the mind well in the work environment, is driving a lot of people to seek different ways of enhancing their abilities. And again, the aging population, which is also something that's relatively new, that's driving demand for these technologies and drugs.
And it does seem very science fiction. Are there any side effects, any risky side effects of potentially getting involved?
Yeah, so certainly there are once we start talking about drugs and devices. I mean, things like coffee have been around for a very long time, and for most of us, with the number of cups we drink every day, it's reasonably safe. One of the drugs is Ritalin, and that's been commonly prescribed for people with ADHD, so attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, to help improve their focus, their attention, and their memory. But that's now being sold on the black market to high school and university students as a study and examination aid. And at high doses, it can actually interfere with your mental function. It can impair your performance. You can get things like anxiety, irritability, which of course you also get if you drink a very substantial amount of coffee, nausea, heart palpitations, blurred vision, and these things can also be addictive. And there are concerns that we may be having detrimental effects on the developing adolescent brain in this age group through using things like this.
It's definitely going to be one to keep an eye on. Siobhan, thank you so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Siobhan Chabron, Research Fellow in Brain Plasticity and Rehabilitation at Western Sydney University, having a chat with us this morning and telling us all about neuroenhancers.